Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Hello, how you doing today? I hope I find you feeling healthy on this Thursday, June 17th, 2021. This is Dave here with Nate as always. Nate, how you doing?
Good evening, Dave. Another day of baseball is always another great day. Looking forward to the show tonight.
What a week of baseball, Nate. Call a number for those of you listening out there, 929-477-2759. Again, 929-477-2759. We have a packed show for you, just like always. I'm going to try my best to not talk about sticky stuff today. I know it'll happen. I'm going to try not to. Honestly, Nate, I feel like the topic has been absolutely beaten to death, yet we keep getting good sound clips. One thing I will say is I was really proud of Gerrit Cole going out there throwing 8 innings of four-hit ball yesterday after being one of the more scrutinized guy. I did find it hilarious that he complained he couldn't hold on to the ball.
I was going to say, I'm really interested in where you're going with this because his quote is hilarious to me.
And we'll get to this, to the Bauer. Okay, there we go. We're like not even a minute in, and here I go off on sticky stuff. First, Nate, I'm going to get to the scores. We had a couple games finish up earlier in the day. The Diamondbacks faced the Giants, with the Giants winning at home 10-3. In that game, Kevin Gausman went up to 8-1. He threw 8 innings, 4 hits today. The Giants catcher Kurt Casilli went 3-for-5 with a home run. Arizona falls to 20-50. Meanwhile, the Giants, going in the other direction, are up to 44-25 and have a 2.5 game lead on the Dodgers. The Giants not slowing down at all. In another matchup of two teams going in opposite directions, we had Baltimore go to Cleveland, with Cleveland. Nate, that's not what you want. Another game that was 10-3. Home run by Jose Ramirez. It was the 16th, a two-run homer in the first. Bobby Bradley had another home run in the first for Cleveland, and quite frankly, that was all they needed to get the first 3 runs, and the rest of the game really just went Cleveland's way. Cleveland now 38-28, 10 games over 500. Baltimore falls to 22-46. It was the second worst record in baseball to the aforementioned Diamondbacks. And right now, looking at Cleveland, they're 4 games behind the White Sox, who have shown no sign of slowing down. Right now, we have in a lot of ways should have been the headliner. We have the Cardinals facing the Braves, and the number one story coming out of this one, we have, I don't like saying, Nate, should I say it? I'm not going to say it. You know what? Ignore me. Right now, Charlie Morton has thrown 6 innings, and he has not let a base runner get on base, I believe. I don't think he's hit anybody or anything like that, because his stat line right now, 0 in the H column, and 0 in the BB column. He's got 6 strikeouts, again, 6 innings down in that game, and he hasn't allowed
He has hit two batters. He hit Matt Carpenter,
right,
and he hit Carlson.
He hit Matt Carpenter. Man, you got to make it count, dude. All right, so there's no perfecto in place, but you know the real stat, the NH, the stat of the season. But we'll move on because I don't want to accidentally say it. Meanwhile, we have the Cubs at the Mets. In that game, Kyle Hendricks got the start for the Cubs against Marcus Stroman for the Mets. As of right now, that score sits at 2-0 with the Javi Baez home run, his 16th of the year. Right now, the Yankees and Toronto are tied in the bottom of the fifth, tied at 3 apiece. In the game, Gio Urshela hit his 8th home run on the season, but Marcus Stroman in the bottom of the fifth did ground out and score Espanol to tie that game up. Right now, we also have the White Sox, who are really just playing some of the best baseball in the sport right now, but they're right now down 3-0 to Houston. And later on in the night, we have we had Cincinnati and San Diego with Wade Miley versus Joe Musgrove. Now, that's quite a pitching matchup. I don't know about you, Nate. Whenever I look at the upcoming baseball games, that's the first thing I always look at. Who are the best starting matchups? And I think that's probably one of the better ones we have going on today. Now, right now, Milwaukee,
Wade Miley
Colorado,
has not Wade Miley has not been thrown into that conversation probably ever in his career. Throws one no-hitter, and now he's in the conversation. Good for him.
But you know what? I remember, what was it, Anibal Sanchez, right? He was the kind of guy who is – he was a pitcher. You know, he wasn't the greatest. He wasn't the worst. But ever since he threw the no-hitter, he's just one of those guys you think, well, you know what? Any given night, he could do it. So, look, Wade Miley's been in the sport a long time. I think he's earned the ability to at least be part of the conversation. You do that kind of thing once, you'll always wonder. Speaking of wondering, I'm wondering how Colorado managed to pull off 5 runs in the first inning. Well, the answer to that is a C.J. Krohn grand slam alongside a Garrett Hampson home run. So that game is 5-0 in favor of Colorado over Milwaukee. Just a couple other quick notes on the standings, Nate, before we dive in. Right now in the AL East, Tampa Bay has a 1-game lead over Boston, and the Yankees sit 7 back from the division lead. And Toronto, Toronto is a great team, but they're 33-33 right now, despite them having a plus 47 run differential, a game and a half behind the Yankees in the standing, who have a negative 5 run differential. So I'd love to make sense of that at some point, but I don't know if I ever will. We already talked about the AL Central. In the AL West right now, Oakland has a 2.5 game lead over Houston, and there is some distance between those two teams and Seattle, the Angels, and Texas. The National League side, the Mets, just despite what seems to be decreasing return for Jacob deGrom, but increasing effectiveness somehow, the Mets are 8-2 in their last 10, won their last 3 games, and are 35-25, 5-game lead over the Phillies in the NL East. Atlanta somehow kind of fallen back. They're 4-6 in their last 10, and I really hope to see them turn around. We'll see if they do something at the trade deadline. When we look at the Central, the Cubs and Milwaukee both sit at 38-30 atop the division, with Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh behind them. Cincinnati and St. Louis really aren't out of it. They're 2-3 games, respectively, back apiece. And then if you look at the NL West, as mentioned before, San Francisco sits at the top. Over the Dodgers, Padres a little bit behind those two, but San Francisco and L.A. are starting to run away with it. And then because every home needs a basement, Arizona's there too.
I do enjoy that we just kind of glossed over Pittsburgh in the NL Central. You know, because of who I'm a fan of, being a Pirates fan and an Orioles fan, I'm going to highlight these teams in the basement. You got Arizona at 20-50, loses a 14 straight. Pittsburgh at 23-44, loses a 10 straight with a minus 100 run differential.
God.
And not quite to be outdone just yet, you got Baltimore at 22-46, loses a 8 straight after losing to Cleveland earlier today. They're coming home. They get a 6-game homestand with the Astros and the Blue Jays. So Dave, your Yankees, you might want to make sure that you handle your business against Oakland, because the Blue Jays are probably about to pick up three monster wins.
I truly think what I said last week is the case for the Yankees. They are going to win a number of games here, and it's going to be the foolest of fool's gold. By the way, real quick in the Yankee game, I want to give the number or the I don't know. You know what, Nate? You're going to have to tell me exactly what to call this. But the play itself was a 1-3-6-2-5-6 triple play. And there was a triple play in the Yankee game due to some base running blunders by the Blue Jays, yet another week with base running blunders being brought up very early on. But, yeah, you know what? I'm not that worried right now, because the Yankees are going to win a bunch of games they're not supposed to. I think the Blue Jays are a team that's just – they're going to do it, Nate. I mean, they're too young. They're too great to not just to break out of sitting, you know, at like 500.
I think that's probably where they end up the year, actually, mostly because they're too young. I don't think they, you know, last year they all came up in the pandemic shortened season, but they haven't really had a chance to figure out how to win at the MLB level as a team yet. There's also nobody really in that pitching staff that I look at and I'm like, oh, that guy's fantastic. He's definitely, they don't have the DeGrom. They don't have, you know,
Garrett.
Well, to
the
go
Garrett
another
Cole
guy
the Yankees that, very specifically went out and got for that.
Right. They and
but
or
I think
like
we've
you know
enough...
the. Go ahead. I was going to say the Shohei Ohtani, who is also pitching tonight against the Tigers. That could be something to tune in.
Ooh. But I don't know. I think we're seeing a lot of teams try to do it without an ace pitcher. Although the more we see teams try to do it, I think you're going to need it more and more. Really, also, Nate, I don't know if the division that Toronto is in with the Yankees and the Red Sox, really, I hate to do it, but really it's the Red Sox, are going to let up. So, you're right. Maybe they do finish 500. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, and every – I think baseball fan, at least around here, does it. You just kind of forget about the Rays. They're just so good. The Rays are a lot like the Braves of the 90s, but without Glavin or Maddox and any – they didn't even have Flash, but they're just so consistent. You know, or maybe it's like the Spurs, but the Spurs had Tim Duncan for all those years. I don't even know what to make of what that team is. It's or the franchise. I shouldn't even say team. I don't know who's doing the scouting there, but they're doing a good job.
Well, ready? I'm gonna pitch my wild conspiracy theory that I have no basis for whatsoever, but it occurred to me today.
I think
it's sticky stuff on the pitcher's fingers.
Oh, Jesus Christmas.
Well, I mean, let's look at some of it. You got the guys that have gone down there. They've had really good years in Tampa, and then they leave, and all of a sudden they're not any good anymore. And, you know, Tyler Glasnow has admitted that he needs the sticky stuff, and he's now blaming Major League Baseball for his UCL injury, which is comical. No, they're not.
Well, okay.
They're legitimately scouting and getting good players, but – you know, if it came out tomorrow that, oh, yeah, all the way down through, they're screwing up the ball with sticky stuff, like, would that really surprise anybody at this point?
I mean, no. And there, you could tell me every person or every pitcher on every 40-man roster was using it. Not literally one human being would surprise me. I would almost be disappointed at this point if a player said they came out and they weren't using it. And I mean that, like if I hope every single one of those Yankee pitchers, up until they started, you know, checking or start imposing, punishments, if I may, I hope every pitcher was doing that on every pitch. I really do. And if you're not, then you're not trying hard enough and I don't want you on my team.
Well, I think I can give you one guy who's definitely not, and that would be the starting pitcher for the Orioles today, Jorge Lopez, who the average rotation on the ball is something around 2,100 RPM for the fastball, and I think his average fastball RPM is only like 1,800. he throw like his sinker, he can throw it like in the mid to high 90s. Like he can sit 97 at the top of the zone. The problem is it's not rotating at all, and you can clearly see that the fact that every time he throws a ball, he misses his spot, and then the ball ends up 400 feet the other direction.
I mean, look, he could, in theory, be using the sticky stuff, and that's what helped him get to the major leagues and why he's in the major leagues. You know what I mean? It's one of those ones where, all right, Nate, you ever play it doesn't matter if it's a Final Fantasy or a Madden, you've played video games where guys have, like, stats, you know, and, you know, charisma, and like Diablo, whatever. You've played stuff like that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so very simple. If you've ever played any game like a Destiny, a Diablo, a Final Fantasy, whatever, there's always like magical enchantment items. And in this case, the magical enchantment item would be the sticky stuff. The problem is literally everybody got the same item. It's like, you know, a free DLC that everybody gets. And so is it really that special or unique? So it's not going to separate anybody either up or down. And that's kind of my thought. It's been so prevalent. And now, if everybody, you know, it's like, I remember when I, you know, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, well, you know, the easiest way to make everything cheaper is to move the decimal point to the left on literally everything. Well, you didn't do the problem. You didn't fix the problem. You know, when you just kind of a dumb kid thought, you're like, well, just give everybody, you know, charge everything 10% less, mark everything up 10%, you know, whatever. But, you know, with the Tampa situation, with your conjecture on Tampa pitchers using sticky stuff, I don't think that's a terribly, you know, in a more realistic, not everybody's using it kind of standpoint, I don't think that's a terrible take, especially because I completely believe Houston is doing that. And that's fine. You know what? I have way less of a problem with Houston using sticky stuff than with the trash cans or the computer systems and the relay signals. That's or the buzzer, which it feels like it's getting discredited more and more. Personally, I still think it happened. So I don't care if the Astros were having all their pitchers using the sticky stuff, because again, at the time, why not? It's like Mark McGwire with Andro. It wasn't illegal at the time. We shouldn't hold it against them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get it. I do agree that I'm more angry at the Astros for the sign stealing and the computerized signaling. I just have no time for some of these pitchers that are coming out and they're like, you know, I keep harping on glass now, but like, dude, you're admitting that you were cheating. You were doing something that's against the rules. I really don't care that everybody's doing it. The fact of the matter is this stuff is not legal, whether MLB is enforcing their own rules or not. I don't care. But you to come out and admit, yeah, I was cheating and it's your fault now that you're enforcing your rule and I got hurt. Dude, I don't, like, forget it. Get out of here. Like, I have no sympathy for you. And Garrett Cole with the, it's really hard to grip a baseball. You've been playing baseball since you were in Little League. Man, like, oh, now it's hard to grip it. You've been a major leaguer for how many years? Obviously, probably cheating the entire time with this whole grip thing, that now it's a problem for you at this point in your career. Like, I can't stand some of these excuses. Now, I will... Now that I've gone on that rant, I will also say that Major League Baseball is, I think they're royally screwing up how they're doing this. You know, the Band-Aid got ripped off by that guy, Bubba, from the Angels.
Oh, the Angels guy? Yeah.
Yeah, the Angels clubhouse guy who's now open and speaking about this and, like, you know, airing all of Major League Baseball's dirty laundry. And I get it in a
sense, he probably feels like the next Jose Canseco.
Yeah, because Jose Canseco is beloved by everybody that's ever met him. Like, not a guy that I'm clamoring to be the next one of personally, but you know, Major League Baseball, this all started preseason, so you knew this was going to come to a head. So instead of, I don't know, enforcing your rules all the way along or telling them in spring training, like, hey guys, even if you do it quietly, instead they come out publicly and they say, hey, Monday, it all stops, and we're going to start suspending you for 10 games with pay, so it's not actually a suspension. You just can't – your club can't use you for 10 days. So now they come out and say that. So now you have all these high-profile guys, like, coming out and running around with their hair on fire. I think that some of them, you know, they do have kind of a point. I can kind of sympathize with it where it's like, look, say it quietly to the clubs. Tell them, knock this crap off. We're going to start checking for it. Do it in spring training so that they can go through the spring, figure it out. And then you can go through the season. You can go through all of next year. So these guys, if they do really need to get reacclimated to not cheating, which is just baffling to me. I need to learn how to play the game the right way again. Screw you, dude. But
Nate, I hate to interrupt you.
Yep.
But Paul Goldschmidt just got a base hit, and the no-hitter is over in Atlanta.
Well, you know what? I guess Charlie Morton forgot to put the sticky stuff on.
Oh, all right. Finish your point, and then I'm going to yell at you.
I'm kind of coming to the end of this point. It's just Major League Baseball, I think they could have handled this a lot better. I just for once would like for them to be proactive instead of reactive to something. You know, if you've got a rule in the books, enforce the rule all the way along. If you haven't been enforcing it, and you're going to change your policy, you know, make it known to the teams quietly so that it's not obvious to the entire league.
So,
you don't have these guys coming out and creating these issues.
So, Nate, I'm looking at my board here, and I see we have a caller who wants to come in and give an opinion. Caller, you're on.
Nate, thank you. This is Art Vandelay. I haven't called in a while. I'm here to just say that the entire Orioles pitching staff should be allowed to dump the entire body in spider tack, okay? That way they have at least a somewhat of a chance to maybe do something. And, hell, the batters, they can dump their entire bodies in pine tar. You know what? They should be given trash cans so they can bang on something, okay? They're terrible. It's abysmal. And I blame the entire organization for this travesty. This was a once great, proud team, and now we're just absolute laughing stocks with Arizona. None of us can win on the road. If Arizona came and played at Baltimore, who wins? And vice versa.
In Baltimore, probably the first time in baseball history. In Baltimore, probably the Orioles.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. All right,
Orioles
will win
in Baltimore, but if we had to rely on the Orioles banging on trash cans, I don't know how well we would do it because we'd probably swing and miss a trash can.
Yeah, man.
Well, Chris Davis is serving as the trash can coach, so that makes
– Or the trash can.
Right.
Well, if Chris Davis is banging on the trash can, he's not actually going to swing at it. He's just going to watch it go by.
Well, he actually belongs in the trash can. Okay, all right, next. The Rays. They're a travesty to baseball as well. They shouldn't win. They don't deserve to win. They're a mockery of everything that's good about baseball. We're just going to have Blake Snell pitch 4 innings in the World Series and pull him for no reason and still be good the next year. It should not be allowed. Okay? This is an Art Vandelay decree. Okay? They're making a mockery of how everything in baseball should work. All right? They're the reason why the Orioles are going this whole Mike Elias and analytic bull crap that we're having to deal with. It's insane, all right? Pitcher guy, if he's good, throw him. Let him use spider tack. I don't care. If you ain't trying, you ain't cheating, okay? Players in baseball and probably all sports at some level, but especially baseball, it's been about gamesmanship from day one, and that's how I view it. And, look, it's been the umpires' responsibility for decades to check pitchers and to wonder and check them. And we see it once in a blue moon and they catch a guy and they eject him from the game. It's on them. I don't care if the pitchers are trying this kind of stuff. And that's all I got to say right now for Art Vandelay, okay?
Well,
I've been listening.
I have a question for you. So,
all right.
So,
okay, that's great.
You're take on this is it's been going on for a while. If and you're putting the onus on the umps, clearly. Do you think if they had come up with some type of standard, say they just legalized spider tow, just make a very simple substance, you know, replace mm-hmm. the rosin bag and everybody gets a spider tack patch on the tip of their brim. And it was universal. Everybody could do it if they wanted to. Would you have a problem mm-hmm. with that?
No, because I don't care that they're doing it anyway.
Okay. Now, my other question for
again,
you.
Like, and so,
oh, no, go ahead.
All right, go ahead. Well, my thing is, I'm in my early 40s. I was 20, 21 years old when I watched Sosa and Maguire in 98.
Oh,
I knew they were on steroids. I knew all those guys were on steroids. And I did not care whatsoever because it was just fun to watch. And we get to, and you know what? Okay, I'm just saying. And baseball knew it was going on. Baseball knows this is going on. It's part of the game. Literally everybody's doing it. And and this is the other thing with the Astros. Yeah, they probably went a little too far with how they were doing it. But everybody in baseball is always trying to steal signs on every single pitch that's ever happened in baseball's history. And a part of me doesn't even care that they did that.
Okay. Wow. That's a truckload right there. Okay. First thing I want to go back to is your. Let's start here. Okay. I don't agree with you. I agree with you completely on the sticky stuff. Yes, just legalize it. I don't really care that much that anybody's doing it because if you're a fan of baseball, inevitably one of the pitchers on your team is doing it. That's just how it goes. Now, with steroids, I think it was a very different thing with steroids. I didn't like steroids in the same way simply because it was something that you could put in your body and it was a physical altering substance. And you know, teaching the game standpoint, you can teach a kid in high school fine to use spider tack, no big deal. But if you teach a kid to try to be like his best, like, you know, he wants to be the next Melky Cabrera. He was very popular in New York when he was good. And if you're a kid and you're like, oh, I want to be like Melky Cabrera, I don't want high school kids injecting themselves with steroids. If they're using spider tack, way less of a big deal. And for me, that's the delineation between the two.
Obviously, there is the health aspect of it, and that I'm not going to argue with you, okay? And, yes, I don't want a kid in high school injecting themselves with steroids, okay? However, it was fun as can be to watch Maguire and Sosa go at
it. Yes.
And I would give anything to be able to see some crap like that right now as opposed to this everybody's hitting 230 and it's a strikeout and that's it. And it's driving me crazy. Bring back a little bit of the fun. And I'm not saying, just let them do steroids.
Everybody's hitting 230. Here's the problem, though. Everybody's hitting 230 because all the pitchers are using this illegal spider tack substance to get in.
Oh, Lord.
No, I don't agree with you at all.
I don't believe with that. It's strictly the hitters. It's the analytics where they have a signal doesn't matter. Hitting the ball the other way doesn't matter. It's about swing as hard as you can, and that's it. Analytics have ruined baseball.
It's column and column B. It's both. One is
now,
it's a never-ending death cycle. One is feeding the other.
You've managed to merge the last point I wanted to make to you. And again, I appreciate the call. The analytics are why Tampa Bay is what they're doing. They don't care if you like it. They don't seem like the type of franchise that relishes it if you hate it. I was a Devils fan in the early 2000s, right? And they played the trap, and it was the most boring thing in the world. You just dump the puck in and let the goalie fling it out. It was terrible for viewers, but as a Devils fan, I loved it. I thought it was the greatest thing. So maybe that's where some of my bias comes in here. But I think what the Rays are doing is doing something somewhat similar, and that's taking the rules of baseball and not viewing it as trying to move runners around necessarily, which you'd hope. They're trying to look at it from the pitcher's angle and say, okay, each guy can get one run through the rotation, right, or through the lineup. So that's 9 plus 9 plus 9. So you've got 3 sets of 9 outs that you need to piece through. So let's just have a guy throw the first 3 innings. You won't tax him too much. Then the next go around, and then the next go around. And that's kind of the starting point for what they're doing.
But can't they also get away with it when you have zero fans and are at the game and you can just toy and do stuff? But if you have an actual fan base that understands and knows baseball and goes to the game and sits there and go, why are we pulling Blake Snell in the fourth inning of a World Series game when the other team can't hit him? you would probably feel a whole lot more pressure and everything to not do something so asinine.
But that's why they don't care that you don't like it, because it's getting them to the World Series. They don't have anybody that watches them anyway. Why do they care what the fans think? It wins.
That's what I'm saying. So they're like
the World Series.
Do you
they're
both
the
really think that
of it because?
What do you both really think that the executives in Tampa are sitting there saying we don't care about the fans coming? They do care about the fans coming to the game.
No,
and I think
yes,
their
they,
strategy
no,
is putting a winning product
on. Nobody goes to the game, so they don't care. It's literally
the location of the truck.
To me, I look at their front office is just strictly it's a video game for them. They're on there playing MLB The Show, and they're sitting there going, like, I'm putting this on, what is it, career mode or whatever, and they're just making it up as they go, and they're like, I'm going to try this and see what happens. And it's not good for baseball in my eyes. It's just not.
They very much do care about the fans. The problem is they don't have any fans, so it's not
that's
a primary concern.
Well, would you rather right now be over the last 10 years, would you rather claim to be a Tampa fan or a Baltimore fan from a strictly on-the-field perspective?
Well, obviously the Orioles did have some success there from 2012 to 16, 17. So it hasn't been all for naught with the Orioles.
True.
But if I was a Rays fan, I mean, yeah, I would love
you'd
to
be the 10th.
You know, good. I would, but here's the thing. At the same time, I would go insane pulling my hair out watching them pull Blake Snell out of the fourth inning of a World Series game. Like, to me, that's just it's not
that's a reason to give up on the
incomprehensible.
Team.
It just I don't know. I don't know. No, I guess hand in hand, I see why they don't have fans. I wonder if they're like, okay, yeah, we're good, but we know we're not going to win it all. Or our coaches, our GM, whoever's making the calls, the computer, or whatever it is. And I don't know. I just wouldn't enjoy it. I don't think it would be great. I don't think it'd be fun. I don't know. I guess I'm old school in this manner, but, you know, I just think analytic nerds are ruining it. And we're seeing it, I think, with everybody hitting 230.
Well, as one who makes his career as a data analyst, I certainly don't disagree. And it's frustrating in a way because I unfortunately view a lot of baseball, how would it fit on the spreadsheet? And I think there's, you know, as I said, they're just taking the career expectations of these guys, spreading it across 162 games without taking any respect to what these guys do situationally, what they're doing in certain weather situations. I mean, a big chunk of the season takes place in the summer when the weather's hot and the balls fly far. So, you know, if you're hitting, you know, 30, 40 home runs, how many of them are happening in the summer? I do think analytics does account for that. Yeah, sorry, man.
Oh, my God, your life is so boring and awful. I couldn't
yeah,
imagine.
But you know what? You know what the best part is? Spreadsheets don't talk back, and I don't have to worry about them. I just get my data off of the internet, and I don't have to worry about anybody letting me down.
See, it's much better to be Art Vandalay because you don't need data.
Yeah.
You can just say whatever you want, and that's the answer to everything.
Just import and export.
Yes, precisely. you import data, you export crap. It's wonderful.
Yes, but unfortunately that crap in Tampa is getting them far into the postseason. Again, one big problem is that the data doesn't account for how to win a one-game scenario, and that's where you really
Correct.
Do need a guy like a Blake Snell.
I mean, well, right, and again, here's the thing, is that you still look at it, it's still the Dodgers winning or the Red Sox, these teams over the years still winning the title. It's the teams with the money that are buying the players are the ones still winning the World Series.
I don't really think I think the Red Sox are doing it naturally. I got to say, as much as I maybe
no,
dislike
no, I'm not
them
talking
more
about
than
necessarily today.
The current one?
But
okay.
I mean,
historically.
It's been within recent history.
Yeah. Mets about to join that group, too.
No, yeah. Well, anyway, I'm going to go. I done taken up too much of y'all's time. I'm just here to say hello.
No, we appreciate it.
And,
we appreciate it.
Great
Call
job.
In anytime.
All right. Y'all have a great evening.
You too, man.
Have a good evening, Art.
So, Nate, one thing I had told you about, and I think he brings a great set of points up, is, you know, how we're teaching the game to kids, and what we're teaching them to do and why it's so boring. And that's something I know we talk about a lot, is how to make it interesting. And Nate, I have a nephew. He is about to be a sophomore in high school. And I had a chance to, I was just texting him back and forth earlier today, just asking what he thought about, you know, his cohorts playing baseball. And I said, you know, where do you even learn about baseball these days? I mean, when I grew up, I had the ESPN Sports Almanac. I would watch SportsCenter highlights in the, you know, 90s when I was a big Yankee fan, and early 2000s. There really wasn't stuff like YouTube highlights, Twitter highlights, Instagram highlights. I mean, that's how I see a lot of the play. That's how I saw the Yankees triple play today, was I saw it tweeted out by the MLB account. So I said, dude, how are you learning about it? And he said, honestly, the Michael Kay talk show that I reference a lot, and they talk about the games, and sometimes they'll show highlights. So still, talk shows are a big thing. But they also, I find it very funny, Nate. I remember growing up when Fox would show highlights for football games, they would only show the Fox highlights. They couldn't get the CBS ones, and vice versa. CBS couldn't get the Fox ones. Now everybody's got every highlight. But, you know, I wanted to know, okay, so you got to learn, like, the art of baseball, because he plays and he pitches. And he's, you know, from all I can tell, he's a very good player, and he's very knowledgeable of the sport. So he said he uses social media a lot. And just like I was saying, you know, Twitter, Instagram, those kinds of things. But here was the one that I thought was the most interesting. He said he's at a level right now. And again, I think he's about, you know, 14, 15. And he said his dad taught him the basics, but he learns the intricacies from YouTube videos. And he used an example of Mike Trout's swing. And what he'll do is he'll go watch videos on YouTube of Mike Trout's swing and slow it down and understand the mechanics. And I feel like that's a very similar thing to what I would do, you know, when I was watching Tiger Woods highlights, because I wouldn't see those breakdowns of swings that much, except on shows like Baseball Tonight. But now he can do that whenever he wants, and that's how he's learning a lot about mechanics. So, Nate, before I go on to my next point, I am kind of curious, when you were growing up, where would you go for, if you wanted to just really know and understand, how do you throw a splitter differently than a curveball? Or, I don't know, for me, that's what I love doing. I love, like, researching how you throw different pitches, but I had to do it through things like books.
Yeah, so I pitch at a high enough level where I actually had, like, a pitching coach or anything to teach me how to do that stuff. I do remember I bought a baseball, a lefty specialist baseball, that had little fingerprints for how to grip.
Oh, yeah, it was like
pitches.
Red. It was like a fastball was like red. Green was a curveball. That one?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that thing.
When I was pitching, I effectively threw, what did I throw? I threw a fastball. My cousins who play baseball, they taught me how to grip and throw a circle change. So that was my changeup. I gripped a slider, but I threw it like a fastball. I didn't break my wrist. I didn't break my elbow so that I wouldn't hurt myself, because, you know, we're talking little league here. Not an adult shouldn't be throwing sliders. So I effectively threw, and I also gripped a forkball, but again, threw it the same way. I didn't do, like, violent wrist action or anything like that. So, you know, I effectively threw three different fastballs just with different grips, plus the – you know, plus a circle change. That was about the only thing that I actually, like, knew how, or, like, figured out how to throw properly. But, I learned the grips from the ball or my cousins. And other than that, it's, you know, just going out and playing was how I pretty much picked up the game. You know, my dad was my coach, so my dad was the one that taught me. I think as you know, most kids, as they work their way up through, I know that we had in my hometown – we had some really great, you know, youth coaches for the little league teams that I know my brothers both got to play for, that I kind of walked away because I took a ball to the face and it scared me off the mound when I was too young. But, Yeah, I mean, that, and, you know, other than that, I just, I read a ton of old books. I mean, I think I showed you a picture of the book I'm reading right now called The Greatest Game Ever Pitched. It's about a recap of a pitching matchup between Juan Marichal and Warren Spahn, where they went 16 innings, 1-0 game. Both guys pitched complete games.
Yeah, that's like a month's worth of pitching for some of the guys these days.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, you read some of these old-time, you know, baseball books, and that's just kind of where I anymore pick up the fundamentals of baseball that I'm hoping that, you know, if one day if I have children, I'm going to pass on, you know, where do you learn the game? I can be like, well, hey, you know, I picked this up through reading these books. I'm going to pass it on to you, and then you can take it, and then hopefully you get a good coach, and your coach can teach you what you do. But in all honesty, I kind of really like what your relative is saying to you about that he's picking it up off of YouTube, because, you know, you read through these books, and where a lot of the old-time superstars got it is because it was the same thing. But instead of getting it off YouTube or, like, a picture or a magazine, you went to the park.
Right.
Like, you went to the game, and you watched your favorite player, and then you started emulating, you know, Joe DiMaggio's stance. You started emulating Willie Mays' stance. Kids tried to, you know, mimic Warren Spahn's leg kick or Juan Marichal's windup, that kind of stuff.
See, as a kid, I remember, this is a real embarrassing admission here. I used to love El Duque or Orlando Hernandez's pitching motion, because he had that ginormous, like, almost comical leg kick. And I absolutely hurt myself doing that one time. nearly fell over, man. So one thing I just wanted to lastly mention in that chat with my nephew is he said he thinks everybody – I said, what do your peers think about baseball? I mean, you know, if you're a sophomore in high school, everything, so what do you do these days? And if you answer, I'm playing baseball, right now you kind of get some funny looks. Like, why are you doing that? Why don't you do something else? And some of the feedback he gets as why they're asking those questions is because it's just all strikeouts, right? So if you're playing, you're just standing there in the outfield, right? You're maybe getting a put out here or there, but with the increased number of either strikeout or home runs, what are you doing if you're the left fielder? I mean, that means you're just standing there for most of the game hoping a ball gets hit to you. And it's funny, I have to admit, I feel like that's not a perspective I've heard too much, is how uninvolved the athletes in the field are. I mean, you know, I felt like growing up, and I'm going to use Andrew Jones, I swear, every night it felt like a ball was kind of hit to short center field or you know, right center in a game that the Braves were playing, and he would just make some diving catch, and it was the greatest thing. I feel like if you see a diving catch, it's A, you know, you see a couple a week or not a lot, and it's always the greatest thing ever. You know, it's like so rare to see those plays done by the outfielders, and I think that really does take something away from them. So I thought that was really good perspective, especially if you're a kid just kind of trying to learn the game. Well, what are you doing out there? You're just standing there. So, Nate, you had brought up one thing that I thought was a good point. And it brings me to a topic that I've really wanted to bring up for a while, and I know you have too. If your memories of playing baseball with your dad and him teaching you even, you know, some of the basics of the game, to me, whenever I think about stuff like that, I mean, now, Nate, I honestly forget if I mentioned this before, but my dad is blind, so he didn't really get a chance to throw the ball around that much. I mean, he lost his sight, in roughly around the year 2000. So he did have a couple of years where he could, you know, have a catch. And to me, those are some of the best things. I still have my, the ball and the glove from those days. But it always brings me back to Field of Dreams. Hey dad, want to have a catch? I mean, oh, that line just gets me every time. And for me, for my money, whenever you talk about learning stuff about with your dad, I always go to Field of Dreams because to me, that is the quintessential baseball movie. Sure, there's others. Sure, you've got The Natural and Bull Durham, and you know, there's tons of great movies. I know a lot of my friends who are, my friends who are women really worshipped A League of Their Own, and a lot of guys too, because it was a great movie. But the conversation starts with Field of Dreams, and then you work your way down. So that's, for me, my number one baseball movie. I'm really curious what your number one baseball movie is.
So I think the conversation both starts and ends with Field of Dreams. I don't know that there's a better baseball movie out there. However, there are two other baseball movies that I love just because they're so quotable, and I'm actually going to throw one in here because it's going to tie back to what you were talking about with your nephew about how baseball has become boring because everybody's up there striking out. We can throw it back to Art's Call with everybody sitting 230, and we're gonna squeeze in this Bull Durham quote: "Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. It's more democratic."
Oh my goodness! I can't believe you.
There are just so many great quotes from that movie that you can just work into almost any conversation. And then, but, you know, I agree with you when it comes to my all-time favorite. It's definitely going to be Field of Dreams because of the, you know, if you build it, they will come, the playing catch with your dad. Like, I cannot understand somebody that sits down and watches that movie and doesn't get emotional in the last scene. And just as much as I hate to give it to him, the "Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa" quote is also just absolutely fantastic. I love to break it out during football season when Penn State beats Iowa, even though it doesn't quite work there. But
you know, I'm really disappointed that I have to double check. I think it's scheduled for later this season, but weren't they going to do the Iowa Classic? I know that was something that was on the table for last season.
Yeah, I think they are. And actually, I know one of my, I don't know, I haven't actually heard if they're still doing that or not, but you're right. That was on the table for 2020, even if it was just like an exhibition game, like spring training or something. But I would love to see them actually make that happen. But, you know, we've covered what we believe to be the top echelon, just general movie. If you're going for quotable movie, are you going Bull Durham or are you going somewhere else?
I mean, quotable, I still have to give – it's always going to be Field of Dreams. You know, but I do want to mention one of my favorite baseball comedies, got to be Major League.
Yes. the first one, the second one, and then when the Major League back to the minors, we just pretend those didn't really happen.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, you know, if you really like them, good for you. But, you know, just the wild thing, which it's funny. I mean, it spawned, you know, real kind of nicknames and personas, and it really helped the Indians. And, you know, every single person in that was just a true character. So I've always liked Major League. And then another more modern movie that I don't want to say it's my biased favorite movie, because inevitably as a Yankee fan, there's a lot of movies about the Yankees. It's kind of the way it works. And I got to say, 61 is beautiful. I love that movie. That movie is about the 1961 home run chase where Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle are chasing it down with Thomas Jane and Barry Pepper as the two stars, produced and directed and I believe written by Billy Crystal. The interesting thing about that movie is the very opening scene is McGuire hitting his record home run. And I heard Billy Crystal interviewed earlier this season, saying he absolutely regrets having that in there because it was tainted and he wishes it wasn't in there. And then he just kind of kept the movie to the time period piece from 1961. I like that they did it personally. I every time I fire that movie up, I still get chills thinking about the home run chase in 98. The Yankees were good at that time, too, so I would be disingenuous saying that's what got me into baseball, but it sure didn't hurt, and I think it helped a lot of my friends, and I'm sure the same is true for you. Our peer group really got into it, because people would sit down and see, like, all right, are they going to, you know, hit another one tonight, you know, especially after the All-Star break.
Yeah. I love the home run. And actually, you know, speaking of the home run chase, I believe, is that not featured in Moneyball? Like, maybe at the very beginning of Moneyball? Or am I imagining that? Because they definitely have some cutaways. They have some cutaways in that, in the very beginning.
You know, that's a good question. Movie I've only seen once.
Really? I've seen that one a couple of times. That one's good, but I haven't seen it enough to make it quotable the way that Major
really,
League and Bull Durham and Field of Dreams, you know, where you can just pull out the references. I was going to say The Natural has the best soundtrack.
You know what? You beat me. That's actually what I was going to say. Was what's your take on The Natural? I have to admit, I know I'm going to turn off the board here just so nobody doesn't call in and just smack me over the phone. Never actually seen The Natural.
Ooh.
I know. I just admitted it. But you know what? I will commit right here, right now, and I will go see The Natural, and I will give you my fresh take on it next week. Is there a baseball movie, Nate, that you haven't seen that you're like, oh, I wish I saw that? At some point, just kind of missed you.
Honestly, the one you just threw out there, 61. I never even knew that was a thing until tonight. I don't know how that one just completely got off my radar.
Okay, I'll make a deal with you.
I've seen the.
If you watch 61 this week, I'll watch The Natural, and we'll have our movie review next week. I really think you'll love 61. It's hard because I just assume you see that interlocking NY and you want to throw your TV out the window, because that's how I feel when I see a Red Sox logo, to a point where two really random things. Do you remember the movie? I think it was Pitch Perfect. It was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was the one about the Red Sox, Fever Pitch. No, I can't remember.
There's like an engagement at Fenway Park or something like
that? Yes, it's Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon.
I feel like we lose some credibility for actually knowing elements of this movie.
I got to be honest with you, I actually liked the movie a lot.
Ooh.
I know. But it was a good movie, but there's a line in it that somehow always stuck with me. And it's called, and the line where it's Fever Pitch, by the way, was the name of the movie, came out in 2005. And the whole point of the movie, let me backtrack, the whole point of the movie was, it was filmed about this guy who falls in love with this girl, and they become, you know, and they're both, he gets her into the Red Sox, and the whole plot of the movie was that the team always loses, and they lose the World Series that year. Or they, you know, lose at some point in the season and that's it, but they still have each other. The problem is when they filmed the movie during the 2004 run, so they had to redo the end of the movie entirely, and they were filming and they were on the field during the 2004 Red Sox World Series, which, by the way, that obviously was the year, if you're listening to this show, you know, that was the year the Red Sox came back from whatever. We don't need to go through that. I've never actually seen an out from that World Series. In the TV show Lost, one of the things that they do to signify the passage of time for one guy, he's like, I crashed on this island. How do I know time has passed? Or, you know, can you prove to me that the world is going by and I'm not just being held hostage? And he shows him clips of, like, news footage. And one of the things he shows is that stupid last out from that World Series. And that's the only scene of the TV show Lost. I leave the room every time. I refuse to see the last out of the 2004 World Series. I just will not let myself watch it.
You know, I hate to admit this, but it was It was a year where I was actually pulling for the Red Sox to win the World Series because I wanted to see the history. And I'll never, ever root for them to do that again. It was the kind of thing. Well, you know what? It reminds me of something that I've actually said to some of my friends here in Chicago a couple of times. When the Cubs were rolling up to their World Series in 2016, I said to a bunch of my friends that I made since I moved out here, I'm like, look, you don't, like, yeah, win your World Series. I'm all aboard this World Series train. You got to go get that one. You got to break this curse. You got to get the history. However, you don't want to be the Red Sox. You can't come right back here and then be in the World Series again 2 or 3 years later. Now, I enjoy that the Cubs are doing well this year. It's always better to be around the city when the White Sox and the Cubs are playing good baseball because, you know, winning baseball is fun to be around. But to go from lovable losers to dominant, that's what's going to turn you into the villains. Nobody wants to be that guy or be that fan base.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Exactly.
Nate, I'm gonna let you give a parting thought and a parting shot if you want, and then I'll wrap it up, and then we'll call it a week.
Sounds good. Okay, here's our trivia for this evening, tying back to something we were talking about earlier today. The last team to shut out the Dodgers was the Mets on September 14th, 2019. Who started the game for New York?
Is it a player that's still on the Mets?
It is very much a player who is still on the Mets.
Is it DeGrom?
It is absolutely Jacob DeGrom.
It was either going to be DeGrom, or if you hadn't given me the year, I would have said Tom Seaver. That's it. Johan Santana had like a little stretch in there, but really Mets pitching hasn't been that great. Although Syndergaard did help him do a World Series. So that's a good one. I like that one because I got it right. Nate, last shot for a plug.
It's been a great week talking with everybody. Check us out on the website, sportscitychefs.com. All kind of great stuff going up there. And actually, Dave, if you and I do follow through and watch these movies, I think maybe you and I need to co-author our movie reviews on the blog. So let's kick that around. Maybe look for that in the next coming weeks. As always, every week, right back here, 9 Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. Stay hungry, everybody.
I love it, Nate. And my last thing I want to say is make sure you check us out. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Sport City Chefs. Yes, I like the idea of doing that blog post. And I do want to close by saying it's been a lot of fun talking baseball with you. I will make sure to check out those movies, check out all the other blog posts too. Sport City Chefs has a lot going on. We're keeping an eye on the NBA playoffs. But for now, my friends, what I have to say is it's been quite a week, and I have said enough for a lifetime. And for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant, good.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.